Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Samach Beis. We already did a little bit of Samach Beis from Aleph. We're about six lines up from the start of the middle-sized lines in the Gemara with the words Rabbi Tarfa. Yesterday, we were talking about the din at the end of the shir, which we said that after a certain period of time, when most of the figs were harvested, a period of time when most of the people folded up their knives or folded up their mats and signified that the harvest season for the figs is over. So any figs that are left out in the field, we said, mutaris mishum gezel, there is no din of gezel on them. The owners have given up on those remaining figs in the field. They've made them hefker, and therefore anybody can go and take them without it being a problem of gezel, of stealing. And likewise, since it's hefker, mutar uputuros minamaisos, the person who takes it doesn't have to take off trumas and maisos from it. So we pick up again, six lines up from the start of the middle-sized lines in the Gemara, Samach Beis and Aleph, with the words of a fantastic story about Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, he was once walking in a field, Ashkechei Haugavra, and the person, the guards, the Mefarshim explained, of this field, saw Rabbi Tarfon, that he was eating the figs. Now this was Bizman Shehukflu HaMaktsuos, the Ka'achal. And he was allowed to eat them at that point because this was already at the time that they needed to fold up the knives or folded up the mats, signifying that the remaining figs in the field were hefker. So Rabbi Tarfon went and ate from this. However, this guard in this field was unhappy that Rabbi Tarfon was eating the figs. He was protecting them still. And Achde Bisako, he put Rabbi Tarfon in a sack. Vishakle, and he took him, and he brought him down to the river as if he was going to throw him into the river. The Mefarshim explained he wasn't actually planning on throwing him into the river, he just wanted to give him a little scare and teach him not to go take from the figs that were belonging to someone else. So Amalo, as Rabbi Tarfon is being carried in the sack down to the river, he says to the gentleman who's carrying him down there, this guard, Oi lo li Tarfon. Now the Girsa that is found in the Haggadah of Tzvi says is Oilo Rebbe Tarfon. In other words, he was using the fact that he was Rabbi Tarfon. If you don't have the Girsa Rabbi Tarfon, then he was just a well-known personality. Rabbi Tarfon was well-known in his day as being Rabbi Tarfon. In any event, Rabbi Tarfon says, Oilo Tarfon, what was me? What was the Tarfon? Shezeh Hargo, that this guard is going to take me down to the river and throw me into the river and kill me. Now, the guard heard this, Shama Haugavra, the guard heard that this was Rabbi Tarfon, and Shafke, he let him go out, the Arak, and he left. So, he was allowing Rabbi Tarfon out because he was having tremendous respect for the Torah of Rabbi Tarfon. The Mefarshim was slain. He still thought that Rabbi Tarfon was a Ganav, but since it was Rabbi Tarfon, he let him get away with it. Now, there is a similar story found in the Yerushalmi. It's brought down by the Yafei Nayin. And this Yerushalmi is in Shvius. And he says that Rabbi Tarfon was the owner of this field. But he held like the opinion of Beis Shammai that in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to give thanks even to the person whose field you're going into because it doesn't belong to him. So you can't even say thank you for letting him go into your field. It's not his field. In the Shemitah year, it belongs to everybody. And Rabbi Tarfon held like the opinion of Beis Shammai that you're not even allowed to give him thanks. But he still says, no, you're allowed to say thank you. Your field's a very nice field. So he, Rabbi Tarfon, held like the opinion of Beis Shammai. We have a similar story in Gemara and Brachos where he laid down to say Kriyat Shema like the opinion of Beis Shammai and put himself at great risk when the robbers in that area at night, and therefore he was saying, if you had been killed, you would have been considered that you gave up your own life. In any event, Rabbi Tarfon followed the opinion of Beis Shammai here, so he didn't want to tell the person that he owned this field. This was his field, and therefore this was his guard, and he told him, go and tell Tarfon's house that he's going to die because he is being thrown into the river. And therefore, the guard let him go. And Rabbi Tarfon explained that I was wrong to follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, and I shouldn't have done what I did. I should have said, this is my field. In any event, Agamor continues, Amar Rabbi Avo, Mishum Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Agamor says that Rabbi Avo said the name of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, Kol Yomim Shel Osu Tzadik, all the life of Rabbi Tarfon, Hayim Etzdar, he was upset, Adover Zed, that he'd used the title Rabbi Tarfon, or he used the fact that he was Rabbi Tarfon to go and get out of being scared or thrown into the river in this situation. He used the crown of Torah, as we'll see, that's not something that one should do to save himself. And he said, Omar, Oy li, woe is to me, shenishtamashti bekisra shel Torah, that I used the crown of Torah. I used the fact that it was a Talmud Chacham to get me out of this problem. Now, what was he supposed to do? We'll see in a moment. The Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabba Bar Chana said in Rabbi Yochanan Kol Mishtamish Bekesis Shul Torah Nekar Ben Olam. Anybody that does indeed use the Kesis Shul Torah, so that is something that is terrible. You shouldn't use your Torah learning to get out of something, and therefore, if you do this, you'll actually be uprooted from this world. And we learn this from Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was Zocha to have three generations himself, his son and his grandson reign because of the three steps that he took in honor of Hashem when he was described for Sancheiriv, and when Sancheiriv wanted to send the message to Chizkiyahu the king that he was the first person to ever be saved from the famous illness that Chizkiyahu had, so he sent him a message, and the Sancheiriv had first sent it to the great Chizkiyahu, to the great city of Yerushalayim, and as well to the God of the Jews, the great God of the Jews. And Nebuchadnezzar was described for Sancheiriv, said, hey, that's the wrong order, and he took three steps, and those three steps they took to bring back the scribe. So he said, first you say thank you to the God of Israel, then to Yerushalayim, then to the king. So he was Zochet to have three generations. So he was the king for many, many years, 45 years he was the king. He had a son, Evel Merodach, who was the king after him. And then he had Evel Merodach's son, Belshazzar, who was the king after him. And that was the three generations of kingship for Nebuchadnezzar's family. In any event, we learn out from the story a Kal v'chomer from Belshazzar. What was the Kal v'chomer? Kal v'chomer. Uma Belshazzar, Belshazzar, shenishtamesh b'chlei kodesh, shenasu. Now we have the gist of klei chol, but according to Agos Tzvim, it should be shenasu chol. So he used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he drank out of them, and by his using them, he usurped them, and he made them chol. So they no longer had the status of being klei kodesh. And nevertheless, as we'll see, he was punished. He died that night. That's the famous night, the handwriting on the wall. And Daniel comes and interprets to him and says, you're going to die tonight. And he did. So Belshazzar, shenishtamish b'chlei kodesh, he used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which no longer had the status of Kedusha. And how do we know that they no longer had the status of Kedusha? There's a pasuk from Yechezkel, shenemar, ubo ubo paritzim v'chilua, that the paritzim, Yechezkel saw a nevuah, that the paritzim, the people that are going to breach the temple walls, they're going to come and destroy the temple, v'chilua, and they're going to desecrate all the kelim and make them no longer chol. So kivon shepartzim, we see from this pasuk in Yechezkel, that once they entered into the Beis HaMikdash, and they took the kelim out, nasu chol, the kelim lost the kedusha. So we see Kal v'chomer, so Belshazzar was killed that night, Nekam and Olam, by using the clay mikdash, he was killed. The pasuk says, Bei Belelya, that very, very night, as the Rosh says, but also alaylo shesosu b'chlei Beis HaMikdash, who uvsarav v'katil, katil Belshazzar, he and his officers were killed. So therefore we see that Belshazzar, who used kalim that were no longer kodesh, they actually were chol, he was punished. So certainly, hamishtamish bechisra shel Torah, if you use the live, living Torah, which certainly has never been lost its kedusha, so certainly, shu chai v'kayim, the Torah which is chai v'kayim, le'olam, forever and ever, Allah has kama v'kama, that you will be punished. So that's the source for saying that you'd be nekar min olam if you use the Torah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon, what was the problem with Rabbi Tarfon? Kivan dechi ochel dehukvelu rov hamukzos haba amay tzare hau gavra. So first of all, the Gemara says, why did this watchman of the field go and attack Rabbi Tarfon? After all, as the Rosh says, everybody knew this din. In Dibra Maschel, Amay Tzari says, the Mistoma kol bali nechosim b'kim b'din zeh. Everybody knew this din, that once the knives were folded up, or when the mats were folded up, that signified that all the figs that were remaining were hefker, and anybody could come and take them. So everybody knew that. So why did this watchman of the field give Rabbi Tarfon such a hard time? So the Gemara says, Bishum, because the hahu havu ganve le inve kula shata, that this field, there was a ganav coming in and stealing the grapes throughout the year. And when this watchman saw Rabbi Tarfon eating the figs, he just naturally assumed he was the same one that stole the grapes. So even the ashkel Rabbi Tarfon suffer Hainu the Ganvan. He saw Rabbi Tarfon eating the figs. He says, that's the guy that must be eating the grapes. And that's why he wanted to punish Rabbi Tarfon, because the grapes were certainly not Hefker at that point. And he thought that Rabbi Tarfon, mistakenly, he thought that Rabbi Tarfon was eating all of the grapes. And that's why he wanted to give him a scare and say, hey, stay away from this field. Now, if that's the case, Ihochi, Amayit Siyo Navshe. So then why was Rabbi Tarfon upset? He had the halachic right to go and say, hey, listen, I'm not the Ganav. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. So why in that situation Rabbi Tarfon was upset that all of his life he said, I'm upset that I used the Kesesh Shel Torah to save myself. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rabbi Tarfon Osher Godol Hava. He was fantastically wealthy. He owned this field, as the Yafei 9 brings down from the Yushami. And he could have paid his way out of this. He said, okay, how much did I eat? $100? Here's $100. and he could have gotten away with this without using the Kesa Shel Torah, and that's what bothered him. Now the Ran in Dibur Masel Lihochi explains a lot deeper this story, very interesting. He says, "I Amis Bishlomo Dol Havi Kopid Hal Gavra Elo Ahai Shaisa." If it's true that this guard was only upset over here because Mishum Hochi, because of the fact that there was a Ganav running around over here, and he thought there would be time for the Ganav, so then he should have been able to go and say, "Listen, I'm not the Ganav." So why didn't he tell him this? So Vi Nami Lotzaisli. So maybe the Ran says that the guard wouldn't have believed him, and therefore the Lishlam Lei Hauportu. So he should have said, "Listen, I will pay you for the figs that I just took right now." I Ella Yamris the Kula Shat to have a Ganve Lei Inve might have a little nevet. But if he was being attacked over here, not just for the figs, but if he was being attacked because of the grapes, so then paying off for the figs wouldn't have done it, so to say. So the chihavi leil ishlume demei tuva d'lo mechayvo. So what was he expected to do? Say, "Oh, how much grapes did you lose this year, and I should pay for the grapes as well?" That's not necessary. However, umaskin on the end result, the Gemara says, "Yeah, he should have. The dein hachanami, he should have paid for the grapes also. Even the usher godol haya. So for a bitar phone, he should have paid for the grapes. Now, according to Yefei Naim, this was his own field." But even according to our understanding that it wasn't his own field, the simple understanding here is that it's not his own field, he should have taken out $1,000 check, not $100 for the figs. He should have taken out $1,000 check and paid for the grapes as well without using the Kesa Shel Torah. Miu, this din, however, the Ran tells us, Dafka b'chi ha'gavnehu, the osu mishum dahu gavra adayin ha'yachoshto ul'chavu torosuhu she'inicho. So this wouldn't have worked in general because the person still would have suspected that Rabbi Tarfon really was the Ganav, even if he paid for everything, and only let him go because of the cover for the Torah. And that's why, in this situation, he had to tell him that he was a Rav. But if this had been a standard case where he shouldn't have to pay something because Talmidei Chacham are exempt from paying that, then you are, as we'll see in the upcoming Gemara on the Amud Beis, that you are allowed to say, "I'm a Talmud Chacham, and therefore I'm exempt from certain taxes, etc." As we'll see in the upcoming Gemara. Okay, fascinating story. Mark continues on this idea of using the Kesa Shel Torah for personal benefit. Tanya, we learn the following brisa. The pasuk says, "Li'avos Hashem Elokecha l'shmo b'kolo uludov kobo," that we're supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and emulate Him and attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way that we possibly can. And what does this mean? Shlo yoma ardom, a person shouldn't say, "Listen, Ekra, I'm going to go learn Torah, Shikuni Chacham, so people will call me a Talmud Chacham. Eshna, I'm going to learn Mishnah, Shikuni Rebbe, so people will call me Amdei Rebbe. Or Eshna, I should learn Zaki." So this will be considered a Zaki. And Zaki is Zeshikon HaChokma, they should be Yeshiva. And they'll put me up front in the Mizruch front, and I'll be given honor because I'm a Talmud Chacham. Elo, why should a person learn? Elo, law made me Abba. We should learn just because we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what He wants us to do. V'sof HaKavod Lava, and then Kavod will come to a person in that setting. This is what the Mesilas Yesharim brings out. The highest level is to learn Torah Lishma. And we always say that Mitosh Shelo Lishma, Baal Lishma. No, if the only reason you're learning is so people give you kavod, so at least learn for that reason. The only time you're not allowed to learn is Lekanter. If a person is going to learn so he can slug up the Rebbe. So I'll read ahead in the art scroll, and then when the Rebbe gives a shit the next day, he's not going to know every single footnote the art scroll brings down. And I'll say, "Hey, what about the Rashba?" And no, he's just learning this in order to embarrass the Rebbe. So that's called Lekanter, and Tosus brings down in Martin Brachos that is absolutely usher. So, but if a person's doing it so people say, "Wow, he's so smart, what a good person he is, and he's a Talmud Chacham," so then even though he's doing it just so they'll give him that accolade, so Mitok Shalom Shmo Boshmo, eventually you'll hopefully learn all for the right reasons rather than running for what isn't the optimal reason to learn. But learning is still learning in that situation. So here we're teaching us that the optimal way to learn is just because Hashem said so. And the Gemara continues and says, Shenema, where do we see that this is the way it should be? Shenema, because the pasuk tells us from Mishlei, Shenema, Koshrem al etzbiosecha, Kosrem aluach libecha. You should go and tie it tightly around your fingers, and you should be able to instantly answer back to somebody if they ask you a question. Kosim a luach libecha, and have it in written, chiseled in, right, written down on the luach of your lathe. And the Ran adds the words over here from the rest of the pasuk. He says, "V'hosif al zeh the Omar indom al gargirosecha," that you should go and bind it on your throat. In other words, it should be able to immediately answer anybody. The Torah should be so fluent in you that you should be able to answer somebody that asks you a question. And then the Ran says, the rest of the Gemara, it makes sense now. He says, well, Omer, and therefore, the Torah is written about the Torah. Duracha Dachinam, all the ways of the Torah are very, very pleasant. The Omer, and it further says, Eitz Chaim Hi, it should be the wood of life over here, Lamachazikim Ba. That when you hold on to the Torah, it should be giving you life, Besomcheh Misha. And anybody that supports the Torah, anybody that learns the Torah, is considered very, very praiseworthy. Morgan Tinton says, Rabbi Eliezer, by Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, was the son of Rabbi Tzadok, said, I say Dvorim L'Shem Polam. A person should always do what the Torah says to do because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Ran says in Dibur Masel Lefolam, L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shepolam V'tziva Aleim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, and he said to do this. And the Rosh adds, and he says in Dibur Masel, I say Dvorim L'Shem Polam, L'Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing everything for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "V'daber b'hem l'shmam." You should speak the words of Torah for Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'shmam, just l'shem shomayim. As the Rosh adds in the next Dibur Masel, "V'daber b'hem l'shmam," kol dvorecha u'masecha b'divrei Torah yeh l'shem haTorah. Anything you do in regards to Torah should be just l'shem shomayim. K'day lida v'lahovin. The whole purpose is that you should know and to understand u'lahosif lekach u'pilpo, that you should gather in more Torah. And not to go and argue with people, as I pointed out, that's the wrong reason to learn Torah. That's also to learn Torah just to argue with people, well, as goes, and to become arrogant with your Torah. So that is v'daber b'hem l'shmam, the opposite of what that means. Al taseh matorah l'skalben, and don't make the Torah something that you can become a big shot from, that you should become a great person. Oh, look at that great guy, he learned so much Torah. And don't use it as an axe or as some sort of a digging implement to go and dig with. And this is what Kal v'chomer from Belshazzar. The Belshazzar who used the kalim when they weren't even holy anymore, he got punished so severely. Nekar min olam, he was destroyed, uprooted from the world. So certainly, anyone, which is a chai v'kayim, Allah has kama v'kama, that they will be punished in this way as well. Mark continues and tells us, Amar Rav, Rav said, Shari leili enish, a person is permitted, lo duye, nafshe, biyasra, de lo yodile. He's allowed to tell everybody in a place where they don't know him, hey, I'm a Talmud Chacham. Why is that? This is based upon a pasuk that we have from Malachim, where it tells us that Tachsiv, when Ovadia meets up with Eliyahu, and Eliyahu tells him to go and tell the wicked king Achav a certain message, so Ovadia says, hey, maybe you don't know who I am. He's going to kill me if I go there. And I'm a person who's a Yorei Hashem. Dasiv, Va'abdecha Yorei Es Hashem. Now the Girsa that we have is Minu Rav, but it really should be Minu Roy. There's no Vav in the Pasuk. And Ovadia is telling Eliyahu Navi, who apparently did not know this, as the Ran says, the Evsho de Eliyahu lo have yodale, he didn't know Ovadia, and therefore Ovadia is allowed to tell him, hey, I'm a Navi, I'm a Yorei Hashem, and therefore you see that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to tell people that don't know who he is, so that they should treat him appropriately. So Gemara says to them, why? Elakashi, the Rabbi Tafran. Let's go back to our story earlier this year from Rabbi Tafran. Why was he so mitztai? Why did it bother him so much that he used the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham? Seemingly, that would be allowed. They didn't know, this Shomer of the field didn't know that he was a Talmud Chacham, didn't know it was Rabbi Tarfon. So what was wrong in telling him? So again, the Gemara gives us the answer he gave before. The Asher Gadol, the Rabbi Tarfon was so wealthy, he should have just paid him off. He shouldn't have relied upon the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham to get off. He should have just paid the person off. So Rabbi Tarfon was the exception to the rule. Now the Gemara says, Rav Rami, Rav says there seems to be a steer between two psukim. In the first pasuk, it says, "Ksiv Avdecha Yorei Es Hashem Minu Roy." The pasuk we just brought down from Melachim Aleph, with Ovadia speaking to Eliyahu Navi. But later in Mishlei, we have another pasuk. Ksiv, it says in that pasuk, "Yalelcha Zor Lo Picha." Let other people praise you. Let the Zor, let the stranger, the other person praise you, but not you yourself. Lo Picha. So which one is it? Do we say that you're allowed to go and praise yourself, or do we say, in fact, you shouldn't go and praise yourself? So the Gemara answer is very simple. It depends on what the scenario is. If people know you, so then let them praise you. You shouldn't say, hey, I'm a big Talmud Chacham. If they know that you're a big Talmud Chacham, let them say so. But if it's a place where they don't know you, such as Ovadia was not known by Eliyahu, so then Ovadia has the right to go and tell Eliyahu, I'm a Navi as well. Gemara tells us further, Amar Rav, another statement the Rav made, Shari Leila Tzurvi Rabbanan Lamei Mar, it is permitted for a Talmud Chacham. We always call a Talmud Chacham a Tzurvi Rabbanan. And that's why we always use the terminology Talmud Chacham, that nobody ever is Chacham. We're always Talmidei Chachamim, right? One of the most important things is for a person to realize that he's always a student, that he's always going to continue to learn until the day that he's no longer in this world. So such a person is a Talmud Chacham. So in any event, it's permitted, Rava said, for a Talmud Chacham to go and tell people, Tzuvim Rabbanan, I am a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, Sharuli Sigroi Bereisha, and therefore, I should have my case adjudicated first, as we see both in the Ran and the Rush. As the Rush says, Sharuli Tigroi Bereisha, Paskuli Dini, Kidei Shalo Ezvatel Milamude. Go and judge my case first, so I shouldn't go and be Mavat Torah while I'm waiting over here. And the Ran says the same thing, Piskuli Dini Tchila, I should be judged first, let my case go first. And where do we see this? What's the source that you're allowed to go and say? This is from Shmuel Beis, which says, the Dechsev, Uvnei David Kohanim Hayu. The Bnei David were in fact Kohanim. Now, in the Bach, in Ozayin, he says, and adds the following, really? V'chi Kohanim Hayu? Is David a Kohen? It's from Shevet Yehuda. What do you mean he's Kohanim? Ella, Ma Kohen Notel, just like a Kohen is allowed to go and take Birosh, he goes first, so too, Af Talmud Chacham, so too a Talmud Chacham has the right, Notel Birosh, to go and take first. Now, we see elsewhere, and we'll explain this more in a moment, what it means to get to take first. So if you have a portion of food being brought out, so the Kohen gets to go take first. So you divide it up, and you say, Kohen, take which portion you would like. And he gets to bench first. He gets to wash if they're being motzi other people. He's the one that says hamotzi. He's the one that leads the zimun, etc., as we'll see in the Gemara. So the Kohen always goes first, and this is based upon the following pasuk of Choy Minolon, where we see that the Kohen gets to always take first, they'll say, V'kidash tau, ki eslechem. Now the word Hashem isn't there. V'kidash tau, ki eslechem alokecho, hu makriv. That the Kohen is the one that works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore, he gets to go first. You have to make him holy. How do you make him holy? The Torah of the Yerushalmi Shmuel. V'kidash tau, you'll sanctify him, l'chol dovish l'bikdusha. That he gets to go and take the lead role in anything that would be a dovish l'bikdusha. As the Rosh tells us, l'chol dovish l'bikdusha, b'chol dova, shiyira gadol u'mikudash. Anything that would be something that we would give to important people. Therefore, we want him to be the one that's honored with this. We turn to Samach Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, examples of this are Liftoach Rishon. He gets to go and read the Torah first. He gets Rishon's Aliyah, as the Mafari says over here, Likro B'Sefer Torah, and the Ran adds B'Kriyas HaTorah Shekor Rishon, and you can see this as well in the Rush, where he says, Lios Rosh HaMedabrim, the whole kibbutz, that he's the one that's given the honor of speaking first. You have a dinner, so you let the Kohen or the Talmud Chacham be the first one to speak. Rosh HaMedabrim, the whole kibbutz, he's the first one to get up to speak in any gathering, whether it's Ladaber, Ladaber, or Ladrosh Tchila, whether it's to speak or to give his drasha, so he gets to go first. And you can see in the Likutei Rashi here as well, this applies b'chol dover kavod. For anything that you're giving honor to him, maybe Torah, whether it's a Torah thing, maybe yeshiva, or even to be seated, he gets to sit first. Hu yidabu b'rosh, he would be the first one that would be honored. He would get to speak first. Even if it's not a Torah thing, he would be honored first by speaking first. Similarly, the Gemara continues, ulavaruch rishon, he gets to make the bracha first. So the Mefarish says this is talking about birchas hamotzi as well as birchas hamazon. The Ran says it's talking about birchas hamazon, and the Rosh adds that he would be the one that would lead the zimun. And he gets to go. They bring him the food first, and he gets to go and be served first. And that's the next line in the Gemara. Veliton mona yofa berishon. He gets to go take the first when they bring them out. As the Ram points out, in balachlok dovor imisrael, if there is a plate that's being brought out, and he's going to split the plate with the Yisrael, so Yisrael mimenu shnei chalokim. So the Yisrael divides it up into two portions, shavim that are equal, and he says, Mr. Kohen, the Kohen, bora eizo mehen shirtzu, please take the one that you want. Mar tells us further, Omar Rava. Rava says another thing, it's permitted for a Talmud Chacham to say, lo yoivna achraga, I do not have to go and pay the kraga, is a head tax. Kraga is a skull, so it's a certain tax that you paid per person. So he is exempted from having to pay this head tax, as well as other taxes, as we'll see in a second. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have from Ezra. It says, in that pasuk, three types of taxes, minda, below, and b'haloch. These three types of taxes, which the Gemara will explain in a moment, lo shalit lemirme. Now we have the girsa alehon with a nun, but it should be halehom with a mem. So these three taxes, a Talmud Chacham is exempt from. What are these three taxes? Well, Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda says that minda is referring to a tax zu minas hamelech. What does that mean, minas hamelech? So the Rosh tells us that minas hamelech is something that was from the time of Korash, Melech Pras, Tziva, Shlo Yish'alu Mas, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He said that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah didn't have to pay a certain tax. The Kivan Shemin Hadin Potter, since a Talmud Chacham is therefore Potter from paying such taxes, Shor Leila Memory. He's allowed to go tell the tax collector, I'm a Talmud Chacham, Kilei Shlo Yigzlu Mamonu. So he shouldn't go and take his money. So the Menas HaMelech, the next Rashi tells us, is Kotzuv Ala Karkos. This is like a real estate tax. So this is something that the Talmidei Chachamim were exempted from. Now, we just said in the Rush that this was Koresh. If you look in the Likutei Rashi, so he brings down that this is actually Daryovish, not Koresh. So how do you reconcile the two? So some suggest that Koresh was actually another name that they gave to Daryovish. So it's talking about the same person, albeit he is described by different names. In any event, that's Minda, this Menas HaMelech. What's below? That was the next tax. Ze Kesev Gulgulgota. That's the skull tax, the head tax that a person has to pay. They're exempted as well. And what is Vahaloch? Zu Arnona. This is another type of a tax. In modern Israeli Hebrew, they call the taxes that you pay on real estate, that's called Arnona. And the Likutei Rashi tells us from Bava Basra, this is Isurei Tvuos Behemos. Mideshana Vishana. So this was a certain amount of your crops as well as of your animals that you had to give to the king yearly. So this was like an annual tax that the people had to pay, and Talmidei Chachamim were exempt from this. The Ran adds that this Arnona is Sudas HaMelech Kisholach Mokel Mokum. He says that this was when the king comes to town, so people have to feed the king. So that's what this Arnona is. And he says, Arnona B'loshun Yavin is a Suda. That's what the word means. Alternatively, he brings down the Pshat that we just said, that Loshen Achar, Shutvis Sheesh L'Lamelech B'Behemos D'Arnuna, that the king was a partner in all of your animals, and you have to give a certain number of the animals to the king. And he says, the Loshen of Arnona is a Loshen of Shutvis, and either it means Suda or it means Shutvis, and that's what this type of a tax is. And again, as I mentioned, the modern Hebrew language, Arnona, is the real estate taxes that people have to pay in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, another statement from Rava, V'yama Rava, Shari Leila Tzovim Rava Meimar. Another thing that the Talmud Chacham was allowed to say is Avda de Nura Ana. I am a, literally, servant of the Nura. Now, Nura was a certain type of Avodah Zarah. And the Ran tells us that he's not saying that he's the servant of the Avodah Zarah, but he's saying that he's an Eved, Le'ish, Shehu, that the Girsu that we have in the Ran is Kohen, but if you look at our Goz, Sinum, Oz, Dalit, it's Kumar. So he says, I'm a servant to the Goyisha priests of this Avodah Zarah, the Ovdei Eish, the fire worshippers. Because their servants, Sha'avodam, and the Hagos Tziyunim says that the correct Girsa should be, Sha'avdeha, those people that are the servants, are Pturim Michraga. They don't have to pay this head tax. So a person is allowed to say that. Now, how can you say this? This is saying that you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. So the Ran is, Lo Havi Kamodah Avodah Zarah. This isn't admitting to the Avodah Zarah, because it's obvious that you're saying that this is, I'm a servant of this person, because I don't want to pay the tax, I'm exempt from the tax. The Mul Chanos, it's clear from what you're doing, the Lo Amar Hachi, he's only saying this, Elul Yafturi Michraga, he's only said he doesn't have to pay the head tax, and not because Chas V'Shalom, he is worshipping or involved in any way with this Avodah Zarah. So now, the Ran says, this should apply to everybody. So why did it mention a Talmud Chacham? V'chi Kamar Tzuvi Rabbanan, the fact that the Ran says that we specifically mentioned this by a Talmud Chacham is you might have thought that a Talmud Chacham isn't allowed to do this. So Rebusa Kamar, this is an additional Chiddush over here, Da'afil Tzuvi Rabbanan, Shari Leila Meimar. That even a Talmud Chacham was allowed to say this, because the Hein Sovrin Lavodas Kochavim who Libo L'Shamayim, because the Talmud Chacham will know that he's not doing this for the Avodah Zarah and will do L'Shem Shamayim. In fact, the Yaivitz seems to understand this as saying it's only a Talmud Chacham, because only a Talmud Chacham will have the proper Kavana and know that he's doing this just to save the head tax. Some also suggest that the person is not saying that he's worshipping the Avodah Zarah. He's saying he's worshipping the fire. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered Eish Ochla. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered the person who is worshiping to, and the Talmud Chacham would have the Das to know what he's intending, and if they make a mistake, and therefore think that he's talking about their Avodah Zarah, that's their problem, and not his problem. Okay, so that's what Rabbi taught us, and he says, why is this allowed, my Taima? Because Liavruche Arya Minei Kamar, because it's only like he's scaring away a lion, he's chasing away a lion from in front of him. In other words, they're coming to collect this tax, so he's allowed to go and say this in order not to have to pay this tax. Okay. Gemara continues and says a statement now from Ravashi. Ravashi, have a lay, how Abba? Ravashi had an Abba. An Abba doesn't mean a father over here. An Abba means a yar, as the Ran tells us. And it was customary for them to go and take the wood from this forest and use it for various things. So Ravashi, Zabne Lebein Nura, he sold it to these people that worship the fire. In other words, he sold it to the Avodah Zarah group, and there was a concern that they were using it for Avodah Zarah. That's what Ravina tells him. I'm going to Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says, Ravashi, how could you do this? There's a problem over here that you're putting a stumbling block in front of them. A guy is also not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. That's one of the Zion mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. And here you are, you're selling them wood, and they're going to build a pesel, they're going to build an idol, and you're causing them to go and do this. Now, normally we say that there's only an isser of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol if they have no other way to get it. But if they have another way to get it, then it's only a din derabanan called misayel advar aveira, and that normally doesn't apply to a guy. So the Piskei Tshuva says that this is true here in our case only if they had no other wood themselves. So then you wouldn't be allowed to sell them. But if they had other wood themselves, then you are allowed to sell it to them. That was what Ravashi was doing. So Amalei, Ravashi says back to him, Rov etzim las sokin itnu. They're most of the time not going to be using my wood for the purposes of building idols. Why do people need wood? They need to stoke their fires. They need it to place in their oven. They need it to put in their heating for their houses. And therefore, the overwhelming likelihood is that they're not using it for Avodah Zarah. If they choose to use it for Avodah Zarah, that's their problem and not my problem. And therefore, I'm allowed to go and sell them the wood from my forest. That concludes this beautiful sugya, and we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ada Kotzir, if a person makes an edict, he says, I will not drink wine up until the Kotzir. So that is referring to the harvest. So that means the harvest that people call with the Heyayadiyah, Achiyatzalon Liksor Kitzir Chitim, which is wheat, which is a later harvest than the barley harvest. So his neder would be up until the harvesting of the wheat, because it was HaKotzir, and the proper way to understand HaKotzir, as the Ran tells us, the Diva Masla HaKotzir is the Ha, who the Choshev Lula Inshe, the correlate Kotzir stop. The HaKotzir, the Kotzir, is what the population would say is the most important harvesting, which would be the wheat, and therefore it means that you can't enjoy the wine up until the Chitin are harvested. And after the chitin are harvested, then you can go back again, your nether on the wine, to the wine should be caught into you, would no longer be in effect. However, avalo ksir sorim, but not the barley, which is an earlier harvest, as the Mefarish tells us, ksir sorim heavy muktam. The harvesting of the barley came earlier. It grew faster, and it was harvested earlier, so if a person asks himself to have wine up until the harvest, so then he would not be allowed to eat, even though he harvested barley, he wouldn't be allowed to drink the wine yet until the wheat was harvested. Ada kotzir. Okay. The Mishnah continues, however, and says, it all depends on each place, as we've mentioned many, many times, Hakol Lefi Mekom Nidro. It all depends on the place that you are. As the Ran tells us, Dibur Maso Hakol Lefi Mekom Nidro, Kolomar, Mistama B'chol Mako Mikre Ketzir, Ketzir Chitim. In general, when people say Ketzir, they mean Ketzir Chitim. But if you're in a place that doesn't have that, Aval Mako Nidro, Hurgul Likros La Ketzir Sorim, you're in a place where they consider barley to be the major harvesting crop. You're in an area where they grow barley and not wheat. So then, if you say, until the Ketzir, it means until the Ketzir of the Sorim. So, Ketzir Stam in that situation would be barley. So, Hakol Lefi Mokum Nidro. Everything goes according to the place that you're in. And then the Ran adds, for the next piece of the Gemara, and the Ran tells us, if a person is in the mountains where it takes longer for the crops to go and mature, so the harvesting is later in the mountains than it is in the valleys, so too over there. If he says, up until the harvest time, it depends on the place that you are. If you're in the mountains, so it goes by mountain time, so to say. And if you're in the valley, it goes by valley time for the harvest. And that's what, now we go to the continuation of the Mishnah. Imhoya Bahar, if a person's in the Har, when he makes the nether, up until the harvest time, so you go by the time that they're harvesting in the mountainous areas, Bahar. If he's in the valley, so then you go by the time that they're harvesting in the valleys, Babikah. And as the Mefarshim point out, even if he moves, even if he's making his nether when he's in the mountains, but then he goes to the valley, or if he's in the valley, then he makes his, he moves to the mountains, so you still go by with the original place where he made the nether, what that implied, because you go after Lashon B'nei Adam, and at that point in time, that's what he meant. Then the Mishnah continues and says, if a person says, I shall be also, let's say, have wine, Konem, Sheni Toem, Ata Gishomim, I ask myself until the Gishomim, that's plural form. We'll see, we'll contrast this later on with Geshem. So he says, Ada Gishomim, or he says, it's Konem, Sheni Toem, until the Gishamim are here, until it actually rains, so then It means that he's also in the wine, let's say, achiteret revio shnia. He would be not permitted to have wine up until the second rains come. Revio means rains. As you can see in the Ran, Diramasco, Ada Geshamim, where he firstly tells us that Gimus Manim Hemshel Geshamim, there are three types of rains that come. The rains have different names. The first rains, the second rain, the third names. And when we say in Shema, Yore Umakosh, Vitzaris Shemayim, Kosh Baruch Hu is going to stop these rains. It's talking about the Yore and the Malkosh. That's the first rains and the second rains. The different types of rains have names to them. So there are three types of rains. The Chol Zman, and when the rains come, they're called Revia. So you have Revia Rishona, Shnia, and Shlishis. And why are they called Revia? Ashem Shah Geshamim Rov Tzin Al Aretz, because the rain, so to say, crouch on the ground. The rain pools on the ground when it falls down from Shemayim. And therefore, when we say over here, Uktani, the Mitzar, when a person says, I ask myself, Achiteret, Gishamim, he's talking about Revia Shnia. Why? Mishum Destama Shnia Mashma. The idea of Gishamim implies the second rains. Shena Mikadmemes Kolkach, Revia Rishon, it's not as early as the first rains. Below Mocheres Kolkach Kishlishis, and not as late as the third rains come. And it's plural, so it means more than one. Miu, Loboy, Achitavar, and according to the Tanakhama, so the neder that you made is going to be in effect until the rains come. So you actually have to have the rains. But it doesn't have to be that the rains are all done. It's just they start. It doesn't mean that you have to wait until they're all done. Even though we said, until the rains are here, which normally would mean until the rains are done, but that's only for Dover Shezmano Kavua. Here we're dealing with Mishum She'en Zmanon Kavua. It's not said as we learned in the previous shiur. And therefore, you go by just the start of the second rains and not the conclusion of the second rains, even if you said Achi Yehu. Then the Mishnah gives us the opinion, however, of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who argues with the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. Achi Yagiyas Mana Shor Revia, until the time when the second rains normally come. And in fact, some have the gears over here, Achi Yagiyas Mana Shor Revia, which means Revia Shnia. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't have to actually have rained. It just has to be the time for that rain to come, as you clearly see in the Ran, in the Dibur Masa, Achi Yagiyas Mana Shor Revia, Afa Bisha Lo Yorda Adayin, even though it hasn't yet rained. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the Sira Lei, the Kivan de Ein Liridosa Zman Kavua, since it doesn't have a set time, Shari Lefamim Macheres Leiraid, since it sometimes comes a little bit early, sometimes comes a little bit later, so Amrinan de Bizman Iridosa, it's the time that it normally is supposed to come, the Gersha should be Tolo Nidro, that's what he's making his nether being Tolly on, the Lo Biridosa Mamish, and not the actual coming of the rain, just the time that the rain should come, kach nirabina. That's what the Ran says is his understanding of Rishon Gamaliel. So ad shiagia zmana shall reveal shnia, but even if the rains haven't come. Furthermore, the Mishnah continues and said, if a person says konim yain sheni toim achi pasku gishamim until the rains are gone, so that means achi yetsi nisan kulo divri remeir. Tanakama remeir says it means until the month of Nisan is totally gone, whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer achi yavor pesach, it means only until Pesach is done, even though the entire month of Nisan is not gone. This parallels a machlokas that they have elsewhere as to when is the proper time for a person to stop saying the same Talamot Livracha, which we, of course, stop saying on Pesach. We say it on the first day of Pesach. We start saying either Morid Hatal, if that's your Nusach Tzvar, or we just stop saying the same Talamot at that point in time, the first day of Pesach. So there are different opinions as to when this is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ashiyavar Pesach, until Pesach is totally gone, or it means until Pesach starts. But in any event, this is a machlokes, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir says until Nisan is gone, and Rabbi Yehuda says until Pesach. Mar starts off and quotes the following brayse, Tanya, Hanoder Ada Kayetz Begolul. If a person makes an edda that he asks himself, let's say, to have wine until the Kayetz starts and he's in the Galil, so V'yorad Le'amokim, and then he goes to the valleys. Now the Galil is a mountainous area, and as we pointed out, the harvesting of the wheat is later in the mountainous areas, and now he's in the Amokim. So even though right now he's in the Amokim, Afa Bishigia HaKayetz Be'amokim, even though it's now the Kayetz, it's the harvest time in the Amokim, but it's not yet the harvest time in the Galil, so we go by what he intended. So also Achigia Kaitz Begalil. So he's still also in drinking wine up until the Galil's harvest season, because that's where he made the neder, and that's Mistama what he intended. Similarly, we quote the Mishnah, it said Ada Geshamim, which means Achu Geshamim, Achiteri Riya Shnia, Rishon Gamaliel, Omer Vechule. This is Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rishon Gamaliel. Does it actually have to rain the second rains, or is it until the time of the second rains? So Omer Vezera qualifies this, and he says, Machlok is the Omer Ad HaGishomim. The only argument, the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamaliel, if you use the lashon of Ad HaGishomim, plural, Aval, if he said Omer Ad HaGeshem, if he only said until the singular rain comes, so then it means everybody, Ad Zman Geshomim Komar. It means in that situation, the time of the rain and not the actual coming of the rain. And you can see this in the Rush where he says, Aval Ad HaGeshem, he says, Loshon Zman Geshem. Geshem implies the time of the Geshem, Begam Mashma Loshon Zman Revir Rishona, and he says that, well, this means the first rain, because it's singular, and not the second rains. So if he uses the Loshon of Ad HaGeshem, as opposed to Ad HaGeshamim, it means until the time when the first rains are supposed to come. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us when those times are. It's a three-way machlokas as to when the rains start to come or not, and this is Talui, in when we start saying the same Talamot Levracha in Eretz Yisrael, they start saying it 14 days after the end of Sukkot, so that's when everybody has gone home, but there are different opinions as to when you should start saying Saint Talamot, that's the way that we paskin in Eretz Yisrael, and with this we conclude today's shir.